Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
One of the most exciting things we get to do on Exploring Missions is follow up. Sometimes we do an interview, and the interview turns out to have more information than we thought, and we have to do part two. And this is what we're doing this week. Last week, we interviewed two students, their ministry, and as summer missionaries, we talked about how important that is as a young person, even like Timothy, being an example to everyone, adults as well. Well, this one, we're going to talk about going to difficult places, different places than you've ever been. Some people say getting you out of your comfort zone. So, Nathan, when we talk about that, it could happen across town or it could happen anywhere going into a place that is different. But some places are just a lot more difficult than others, aren't they?
Yeah, I would say so. Well, another way to look at it is to say maybe if you're waiting on God to call you to an easy place, a place that's smooth and all roses, you know, or whatever you want to say, then you're going to keep waiting because the task that remains is just difficult. That's period. There's no easy places left. Any new territory for the kingdom is going to be in a dark, difficult, dangerous place. That's why you don't want to just haphazardly or unintentionally or without a surety of God's call. And the thing about God's call is that his call is
difficult. And Nathan dropped out. We're going to reconnect with him. And so today we're looking at going to difficult places. And the scriptures that we were going to use and are using is Acts chapter 16. Now, we've used Acts 16 several times because it was Paul getting the Macedonia call. As he heard his call that night when he was unable to go forward, so he was called to Macedonia. He had to leave the place where he had been on his first missionary journey, an area that he knew. He was basically from that area because he was raised from Troas. So it was in an area that he knew about, a place that he had served before. And so God said, "Okay, I've got something new for you." And he was called into Macedonia, and it's the call into Europe. Again, I've said that many times. This is a world-changing event. When you look at Acts chapter 16 and Paul heading over to Macedonia, it would change the world and the focus of missions in the church. It really would. And so he goes over there, and there's no synagogue there. And since there's no synagogue, he finds out, though, that there are a group of people worshiping. Just let me read this. This is so beautiful what it says. It says, he came to Philippi, a foremost city of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in the city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. So he made his way to a group of worshipers. Again, that's great. It's kind of like doing missions, summer missions, difficult. Now, sometimes you have to go all on your own. But the students that we interviewed today, there were people already there in these difficult places. It sure is good to have those.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It's good to have a team that you're with or waiting on you or someone that can help you make those adjustments in a difficult place. It sure is.
And so Philippi became that place. Nathan, the great thing about Philippi, and honestly, I can tell everybody, the church at Philippi is possibly my favorite church mentioned in the New Testament. The church at Antioch, they're just powerful because Philippi, this is the new place, but it would be the constant source of prayers and financial help to Paul the rest of his life. That's how important this was. So there can be some unexpected blessings in difficult places, can't there be?
Yeah, obviously God's the one who made this adjustment for Paul. He was comfortable where he was serving. I'm assuming as comfortable as you can be, right, on the mission field. And he had a sort of a plan and a track he was on. And then the Lord led him to make this adjustment to a new place, which, yes, it would be a difficult place with new language, customs, different cultural barriers that had to be dealt with. You already mentioned one. There was not a synagogue in the town. And so it was just a lot of adjustments that Paul had to make. But the thing was, it was God ordained. It was God led. It was divine. Even a difficult place, yes, there might be enemy activity. Satanic attacks might be a part of that. But if God is with you, his presence is with you. If he's sending you to a difficult place, he's with you and he's going to be giving you strength and power. So, yes, it was difficult, but yes, God was a part of that.
And we look at the history of missions and we find out William Carey, Adoniram Judson, Hudson Taylor, going to hard places where it was unreal, harsh, and difficult in every way, but God's calling was real. So here, God's call to Paul from that vision he had of the man from Macedonia, say, come on over here. What a reward was waiting over there, Nathan. The church at Philippi, the church at Ephesus, Corinth. I know it was difficult, but still rewarding to see all that God was doing in that area. And we mentioned the satanic attacks. When he gets there in verse 16, there's a girl that's possessed of demons. And really, this is kind of like human trafficking. You know what I mean? She's a slave to them. And they're making money on her, but it's cause of demons. And he cast out the demons, and they didn't like that. Wasn't it in Ephesus where they burned the books, and they didn't like Paul for doing that? So sometimes in these difficult places, standing for righteousness and standing for God's ways might cost you.
Yeah, it will cost, but you've already said yes to the Lord, and he's already put you in action where he wants you. And so we ultimately fear God rather than men, and we trust in God, and we look to him to direct us as we're making adjustments as we go, as we listen to him to direct us. He will also strengthen, empower, and keep us safe and protected. It'll be all according to his will and his plan, but it's a good plan that we can trust him.
And in this satanic influence, this young girl, she was delivered. We feel like she would be probably become a part of the local church at Philippi. And I remember taking the book of Acts at college. My professor would talk about it. He said, right here, we're introduced to a lot of the church members that would make up the church at Philippi. Lydia and her household, they were baptized and became a part of it. I'm sure this young girl was part of that church. And then
the jailer.
Yeah, all of a sudden, they're put in jail, and God uses even that, doesn't he, Nathan?
Yeah. So a person of peace that God might use to reach a community, they might be a difficult person at the beginning, just like the place might be difficult. The task in front of us is difficult, but the reward is great, and the Lamb who is worthy will receive his reward, but it will be because his people are following him, obeying him, and going to these difficult places.
And here in Acts 16, again, to me, it's one of the most influential chapters in the whole Bible. That's from Nathan, you taught me this, and here it is, the Son teaching the Father. After working with you and talking with you, I started saying, okay, I want to read the Bible in a new way. Now, it doesn't mean a new translation. It doesn't mean anything, but it does mean that I need to look at the scriptures, and you helped me to see it. Look at it missionally, just the whole idea of missions is all throughout the Bible. So when you come to Acts 16 and see this time and event where missions expanded to a whole new continent, you get excited. And these two missionaries that we're going to enjoy listening to, we're going to find out that they went into territories where the gospel is being met with quite a bit of difficulty. So we want you to enjoy this interview, and I pray that God would challenge you to go to the difficult places in your life. This is Bert Harper with Exploring Missions, and it's always a joy to follow up a story that was so good, we want to get the rest of it. Now, you guys, our guests today, as they were last week, is Sarah Simmons. She's from Pontotoc, Mississippi. And then John David Humphreys from Texas, and he claims Amarillo, although he was an Air Force. Now, I heard him called brats.
Yeah.
Do you qualify?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so his dad was in the Air Force, a chaplain. So he served all over, but Texas is his home base. And so they were with us last week telling us about them serving. Now, this is not their first mission to serve in a summer. They'd been there before at different places. But this summer was unique in a lot of ways where God took them. And they were working with the International Mission Board and the team specifically in its summer is Nehemiah teams. And I love that 52 days. That's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. They finished the work in 52 days. You could tell it wasn't a government project. But the other part of in that Nehemiah story that's tough, though, you know, the most difficult time they had when the wall was half built up. Starting was a little difficult, but they started, but they thought they would fall and not succeed. But when it got halfway, the enemy really started zeroing in on Nehemiah and all the people trying to cause the project to fail. And I've got a whole sermon on what Satan uses to try to get us to fail. And it's a great, great name for a team trying to get the finished work of Christ done in this generation. And I'm hearing about Generation Z. It's exciting, guys, and you guys are a part of that. Have you been hearing what God's doing on college campuses, Sarah?
Yeah, I have.
All over America. Mm-hmm. God's just doing that work, JD, that is so powerful. And more Bibles have been bought in more recent times, and it's to that generation. They're more open to the gospel than they've ever been because they're open to spiritual matters. And if we come in with the reality of truth, it's going to make an impact. So we appreciate you guys being a part of Gen Z's and making a difference. But where y'all are serving and going to school is in New Orleans, Louisiana. There's a seminary there, New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and it's a great place. If you've never been to New Orleans and you go to New Orleans and you go to the seminary, it's like an oasis. Never will forget the first time I was there driving through. I said, man, this is New Orleans. It's kind of wild. And you drive through the gate and you come on that campus and all of a sudden there's kind of a peace that passes understanding. Did you experience that?
Absolutely.
Did you experience, JD, when you was? Okay.
Yeah.
There's a few places like that. I've been in the Cove. The Billy Graham training, it's one of those places. You get off the interstate and you get off and you exit and go into the Cove, and all of a sudden there's a whole different atmosphere and you sense it and know it. And that's an awesome thing. Again, you spent last summer in the Far East, both of you serving the Lord there in Asia. And thank God for that. And we appreciate it. And if anyone wants to hear more about it, you can go on our podcast, go to AFR.net, look at podcast, go down to Exploring Missions, and you can hear this first interview, and it'd put you up to date. It's worth you doing that if you would do that. But I wanted to talk about a little bit what you're doing at New Orleans. When I heard it, I said, I want to follow through with a little bit of that, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Tell us what you're doing there in New Orleans. Is not just going to school there, but you've got a ministry there. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I am a part of the Caskey Scholarship that New Orleans Seminary has, and with that, they have a Pathfinder Scholarship, and so they help me find a ministry position in the city, and so with that, I get full tuition at the seminary, which is such a blessing. It's been so helpful, very grateful for that. And so they paired me with the Tulane and Loyola University's BCM. And so
tell us what BCM is.
Yes. So it's Baptist Collegiate Ministries.
Okay.
Yes. So with that, I am a campus missionary there, specifically trying to reach international students. And so they haven't had someone in this position in several years. And so they brought me on with the hopes of establishing a presence there, trying to reach international students. Me and JD both get to be a part of that in the city. And we've just been trying to establish like a weekly rhythm. And we have this thing called a global cafe that Tulane puts on every week for international students. And so that's where we go and we get to meet them and we get to carve pumpkins and celebrate Christmas and lots of fun things. But that's where we kind of establish those relationships and get to share the gospel with them through that.
Is she your boss during those times, Jay? I just got to find that out.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. She runs the show, and she is, I wouldn't want anyone else to run it. She's so good at it. Yeah.
I figured she'd be a good person to work under. It's always a blessing to have someone like that.
Absolutely.
Well, what led you to want to do this and be a part of this, JD?
Yeah. So when I came back from my gap year, I took a semester off, just kind of worked through everything that I did. And then during that year, I volunteered and worked with the Baptist Student Ministry, the BSM, that's what we call it in Texas. And I got to be involved with international students there, and I loved it. And it was a way of like everything I learned from my experience overseas, I could do it here with people who came here who wouldn't have access to the Bible and to the gospel otherwise if they didn't. And so I was looking for a way to get involved. And then I got to know Sarah and getting to know her better. And she told me, hey, I'm doing this thing. You should come. And it's been awesome ever since, and the Lord's just done some really amazing things amongst the students since then.
Yes. I don't know if you know this, so when I ask this question, I don't know, but it's all right. Does both Loyola and Tulane have a great number of students from foreign countries coming to their campuses?
Tulane, a lot, so many. I couldn't give an exact number, but there are many, many international students there.
Well, the reason I ask, when I went to Mississippi State as well, not a graduate like you, but because of it being an agricultural school and where I was, we had the multiplicity of foreign students there because they needed that. They needed the training in agriculture. And Tulane's not an agricultural school. Are they there business, civil engineering? What do they have one main area that they're concerned with? Or are they widespread all over?
There's lots. It's a very widespread thing. It's a very prestigious school. And so I think they call it the Harvard of the South. And so it's lots of students.
I thought it was just the Harvard of Louisiana. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So I have lots of friends that are doing in like business majors. So lots of finance, lots of medical. It's a really big medical school as well. And so lots of the students that I'm friends with, international students, are a lot of in the business department.
Okay. Mm. Do they have the English language where there's no problem with communication most of the time?
Most of the time, yes.
Okay. So do you know if they learned that language, English language, before they came to America and that was part of the reason they could come?
Yes, most of them do. There's a few that it's a struggle for English and they're learning it while they're here. That's part of the reason why they came was to learn English. But for the most part, they learn it in their home country.
Now, both of you may know this or neither. The countries they come from, are many of them that they're closed to missionaries being in their country, but they send them over here.
Yeah.
And that opens the door, right?
Mm-hmm.
JD, that door is wide open?
Yeah, I don't have to worry about a visa to reach these people. You know? They're all right here. So.
Okay, the reason that was so, he was headed somewhere, and you didn't hear the story last week of going to a place, and they rejected his visa. Of 171, he was the only one, and the only one that's ever been rejected in the Nehemiah team. So it's wide open in New Orleans, right?
Absolutely.
Well, amen. Mm-hmm. Well, have y'all had any experiences in working with these students?
Yeah. There's so many stories we could tell.
I love stories because Jesus did that. Mm-hmm. The parables, what are you talking about? And he'd tell them a story and then he'd explain it. So story will go a long way. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, tell us.
Yeah. So my first friend that I think of, he is from India and he's studying finance. And one of my very first weeks on the job at going to the Global Cafe, I got to meet him. And it was just like an immediate, he was drawn in. And one of the very first things he thought was, why is she so nice? Why is she so kind? Like there was specific moments I can think of that he would just look at me and just like have like confusion on his face because he was like, you're so different. I've never met anyone like you before. and I got to share the gospel with him one of the first few weeks that I met him. He had heard it before, and he says that he's not a spiritual person. He doesn't want anything to do with religion because of the context that he grew up in, and he saw Hinduism and how it was corrupted right. and evil, and he thought that all the temples wanted was money, and he saw that, and he recognized that, and he was like, I want nothing to do with religion. So after that, we got to share the gospel with him, and he had... was wanting to read the Bible and wanting to read the Quran. Like, he wanted to explore just because he had this desire to know God and know truth. So we got to
stop there. No, that is the driving force right now for Gen Z's, as I understand it, is truth. Because they, and it reminds me of like Iran, where they know Islam doesn't work and they're looking for something that is real and works. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that sets it up, doesn't it?
It does.
So, okay, he's looking for truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we had many conversations about that, and we kept having conversations where he'd say, I feel like I don't deserve it. Like, he would hear the gospel and be like, man, like, this is really good news, and I can see in your life how it's changed your life, and I can see the peace that you have, the joy that you have, like, your kindness, like, it all comes from him, but I feel like I don't deserve it. Like, you don't know what I've done. I can never come back from this. So he graduated in May, but right before he graduated, we got to sit down and read The Prodigal Son together. We also read some more scripture. We were all over, but that was still his conclusion at the end. Was like, I don't deserve it. But he
the
has,
Word of God will keep on working in his heart and life.
It will.
The Word of God. They call him the Hound of Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
His goodness is running after, you know, the song. I love that song. He really does.
Yeah.
JD, have you had any experiences working there?
Yeah, absolutely. One of our favorite things that we get to do as a team is bring the students actually on the seminary, because Tulane, if you've gone there, it's a very condensed, it's in the city, it's kind of a crazy place. And so, as you said earlier, when you step into the seminary, it's an oasis, it's big open fields, it's trees, it's a beautifully maintained school. So we bring them on, and when they come on campus, they're like, oh my goodness, we feel peace here that we've never ever felt because of the presence of Christ and his body residing and learning. And it's an incredible thing. And
churches ought to be that way too, shouldn't they? Yeah. Let's make it our goal. Go ahead. I couldn't help but interrupt.
Hey, that's good. Good point. But one of my favorite times that we got to do that was before the night before Easter. And we wanted to do an Easter outreach to them because they've never celebrated Easter before. And we told them, hey, you want to celebrate Easter with us? We'd love to do that with you. And they're like, absolutely. And so me and Sarah and one of our friends, Haley, she's very much a part of what we get to do. And then my little brother, Caleb, who goes to school with me, he's part of the gang. And we invited one, two, three, four of them came. Two of them had to leave early, but the two who were most interested got to stay. And we cooked a big meal. We had big old lamb shank. We had garlic bread, potatoes, and vegetables and sparkling.
Feed them and they'll come.
Oh yeah. I mean, Jesus broke bread with the sinner, you know, and that's what he did. And it still works to this day. You know, he had some merit to that. And so we got to cook, but we cooked all together, and that's what they do culturally. So they already felt super comfortable coming into that environment of like, oh, there's this peace. Oh, we get this thing I get to do at home with my family. I could do it with these people who love me and who've communicated they want to get to know me more. And at this point, we've shared the gospel with them so many times. They know they're Christians. They know why we're doing this, but they still want to be our friends, which is a beautiful thing. And at the end of it, two of them had to leave, but like I said, the two that stayed, and we read through the account of the crucifixion and the resurrection with them for the first time. This was their first Bible study, and we read through it all together. It was through the account of John, I believe, right? And they were just stopping, asking us questions, and they're like, why would Jesus do like that? Doesn't make sense. Like this, that. Why would someone? Why would a perfect, wonderful God do something? Why would He do that for me? And it wasn't just that broader example of us. They took that to me, and like the Holy Spirit was just so clearly working in their heart that time. And we stayed for a long time asking questions, and that led to so many good more follow up conversations at the end.
Amen. Our guest today is Sarah Simmons. She's at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. And John David Humphreys, who's there as well, and they serve the Lord. Now, I'm going to take a little turn and try to look ahead. Seminary is always a place of education. It's learning, but it's also getting a vision, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the future? I know you're not clear, but has this helped you to be ready for whatever God has for you? And right now, do you have a little bit of the peace that God has for you in the future, Sarah?
Yeah, so I'm studying social work at the seminary, and the Lord has given me a really big heart for social work. And with the program that I'm in specifically, it's teaching me how to use social work as a ministry. And so that's what I see in the future is God using social work as an avenue to share my faith with other people. He's given me a heart for internationals. And so if I stay in the United States, I would love to move somewhere in the big city and to get to continue to try to reach internationals. But my heart is overseas. And so I'd love to move overseas one day and be long-term over there.
What's interesting in social work, most of the programs that I'm aware of mm-hmm. are very liberal yeah. in their presentation. Mm-hmm. And to have a biblical base yeah. for social work mm-hmm. is awesome. Those of you that are listening, and you're a college student, and you say, man, it'll make a difference. Listen, this is an area that you could, especially if you get into like New Orleans or a place that has that biblical yeah. world view of what it means. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. JD, hey, you've grown up all in it. and when you look ahead, she's a graduate of Mississippi State, but mm-hmm. you went straight on to New Orleans, right?
Yeah, so I'm working through undergrad right now, and I'm planning to get my master's while I'm there, too. So I have some time left at this school.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have an inkling of God's direction?
Absolutely. And the Lord has put the nations upon my heart, and that is something He's clearly kind of interweaved my whole life. I want to continue to pursue in that and prepare for that well. I cannot speak highly enough about the seminary and the leadership, Dr. Dew and Dr. Wilton on the undergrad side. They've just done an incredible job of steering people to the nations and having their minds open to that. But yeah, right now I'm gonna get my degree in intercultural studies, which is like Christian anthropology, of just like understanding culture and language and how to contextualization and things like that. And I hope to get an MA or MDiv in missiology at some point. But yeah, the goal is to the nations and go. I mean, if the Lord has me to stay, I will stay. I mean, He's worthy to be served in any context. But I very much see myself and the way He's worked in my life to continue to push towards the nations. And I know there's so many places that need help over there. And I know it's I'm just, you know, kind of walking day by day and seeing what the Lord wants. But as of right now, I'm trying to prepare to be the best I can for Him here so I can do what He needs me to do over there.
Well, I want to just tell you, I've been a great guest. I've enjoyed this interview. I think y'all understood that. It's been fun to be. It's John David Humphreys. Thank you for being with us. And then Sarah, and it's Sarah Grace. That's just too good a name. And it's without the H, right?
Right.
Okay. You could do like Sarah and Abraham and add the H later. if you know. It is so good to have you guys. And we want to thank everybody for listening to Exploring Missions. And I pray that you've caught a little bit of what God's doing in this generation in reaching the world. Why don't you be a part of it? Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions.